that passes all understanding. Amen. I'm glad, listen, I'm glad there's something like that in the Bible. It has to do with prayer, first of all, because Paul's talking about prayer in the very chapter where he says that. And so it comes through prayer, praying. Praying can give you a peace of God that passes all understanding. Not only does it come through praying, but it comes through thinking. Our mind is troubled when we're not thinking right. The Bible said in that same book, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are of honest report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The peace of God that passes all understanding comes through praying, and it also comes through the way you think. Amen. You say, where's that at in the Bible? Isaiah 26:3. I will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. Amen. You think about God and his word, and you can have that peace that passeth all understanding. It comes through prayer, through the way you think, but it also comes through faith. Amen. Through faith, trusting and believing God. Think about those in the Bible. Think about the one that wrote that, the Apostle Paul. He's sitting in prison. That's a prison epistle. And Paul is writing there, and Paul says, sitting in prison, that the peace of God that passeth all understanding, he's got it sitting in prison. Amen. There's no hint of fear anywhere in the book. He's not afraid of anything. I think about Stephen. They stoned Stephen, calling on the Lord, just praying. I think about Peter. And I love this over in Acts. I think I used it on a Sunday night not too long ago. It's a bad time, heavy persecution. And the Bible said that they had already killed Stephen, beheaded him, and now they've arrested Peter. And the Bible says there in verse 5 of chapter 12, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping. Sleeping. They've just cut his brother's head off, his brother in Christ's head off. They've arrested him. They've locked him up, and he's sleeping. No sleeping pills. No messing to make him sleep. He's sleeping. You say, what would you call that? I'd call that the peace of God that passeth all understanding. He wasn't sleeping lightly, because in verse 7 it said the angel had to hit him in the side to wake him up. He was so asleep. How do you explain that? That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. You say, why did he have that? He had that because of the Word of God. Because a long time ago in John 21, the Lord had told him there, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkest where thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old. In other words, he said, Peter, you're going to live to be an old man. He's not an old man there, so he knows they're not going to kill him, amen. You say, what's he resting on? He's resting on the Word of God, the words of Jesus. Can I tell you, you can have that peace that passes all understanding if you rest on the words of Jesus, amen. Somebody said they're going to arrest Donald Trump tomorrow. Him tomorrow and you and me the next day. Amen. But we can still have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I've learned that by experience. Times in the church, I know a fellow told me one time, he said, I like to come to church over here. Y'all don't never have no problem. And I didn't say it, but I wanted to say, well, we don't have any that you know anything about. But problems. You don't pastor a church for 42 years and not have problems. But even amidst the problems, the very worst that they have ever been, there was a peace of God that passed all understanding, and the Lord said, I'm going to take care of it. Amen. I've learned that by experience in the ministry, in my family, in my home. I've learned those things by experience. Here's another one. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory forever and ever. Now let me say before you run out of here and grab this and claim this, that there were some stipulations to the Word of God working. It said that you have to receive it, and it says you have to believe it is God's Word, or it ain't going to work for you. That peace that passeth all understanding, you say, well, I don't experience that. I don't know what that is. Well, that's for people that are living for God, staying on God, in the Word of God, praying to God. That's not for everybody. That's why you see some Christians, they just break down and lose it when they have a flat tire. That's because, listen, they don't have the Word of God. They're not resting on the Word of God. They're not trusting in the Word of God. You see, all these things only work if you're qualified to receive them. The Bible said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory forever and ever. Can I tell you there are countless ways that God has to supply your needs and mine. You see, if I was trying to supply Brother Caleb, if he had a need and I was trying to supply his need, I'd be very limited in doing it. Depending on what it was, but I'd be very limited in being able to supply his or anybody else's need in this congregation. But I have to remind myself real often that God is not limited. Amen. I was telling them Wednesday night, I've told them a couple of times here lately in my office, if you went in my office, you'd find on the wall, you'd find a big map there of the East, and you'd find there all those countries, India, Ethiopia, all of those countries, and there's two color shades there. One is a dark green, the other one is a light green. And over the top of that map, it says hostile countries, and then it has forbidden countries. In other words, the forbidden, you're not even allowed to go in there. Missionary couldn't go in there. Preacher couldn't go in there. And the hostile, you could go in there, but they'd be hostile to you. Down at the bottom of that, it's got a Christian lady, and she's standing there holding a little child. You can tell she's worried. And then right in the middle of that, there's somebody standing there watching, I guess, their house going up in flames. And then right over here, there's a woman looking through a sail and bars there. And the meaning of that is that there's Christians this morning while you and I are enjoying what we're enjoying here. There's Christians this morning that are worried to death what's about to happen to them. There's Christians that their homes have been burnt. What they have has been burned up. There's Christians this morning while me and you are thinking about where we're going to eat in a minute. They're locked up in jail. They can't even get out. Amen. I was looking at that the other day and praying over it. And I put my hand on that one forbidden. God, I said, God, they won't even let a missionary in here. They won't even let a preacher in here. They won't even let Bibles in here. They won't let nothing in here. And God said, they can't keep me out. And I'm glad that God is not limited in how He can help people. He has an endless means of being able to supply the need of those that will trust in Him. Amen. I've found out that God is able to supply all my need. I've learned that by experience. And I've learned that God does it through people. Sometimes. Sometimes I have a need and somebody will come and help me fulfill the need, and I always appreciate that. But God uses people. That's one of them gifts, Brother Steve. Some people have a gift of helps. Some people have a gift of giving. There's a whole lot of people got a gift of taking. But some people just got a gift of helping people. Giving things to people. Amen. You see in 1 Kings 17, the Bible said, "Oh, Elijah is a drought. He didn't have no money. He didn't have nothing to eat." And the Bible said, God said, "I've commanded a widow woman there to feed you." That's a person. God used a person to fulfill that need. And it looked like it was the most unlikely person when you read that story. She said, "I ain't got two sticks and don't have but a handful of meal, and we're going to make us a cornbread patty, and then, man, my son's going to die." Seemed like an unlikely person. That's the kind of people God uses. Very seldom does God ever use a millionaire to meet your need. Amen. Usually it's somebody. I've had these little old widows over the last 40 years. I've had little old widow women fulfill my need. And I felt like a dog even taking it. I knew they needed it worse than I did. I've had little old widow women get them little old snap purses out and snap them open and reach down in there and get a little old $100 bill, just fold it every way you could fold it, and said, "Preacher, I want you to have this." And I everything in me wanted to say, "You need it worse than I do. You keep it." But I knew the Lord had told them to do it. I remember years ago, we used to have a Christian radio station here in town. And God gave me favor with the owner, and he let me on there for an hour every Sunday evening for just pennies, really. Long story short, there was a lady that listened to that radio broadcast. And that lady called me one day, and she wanted me to come by her house. And so I cut some of it out, but I went by her house, finally went by her house. She lived out here, down below the hospital. And I pulled in, little old four-room house there. I pulled in and got out and went up and knocked on the door. The little old lady come to the door, Brother Caleb, one of them little white buns on her head, about 85 year old. And she said, "Are you Brother Rick?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "You're my radio pastor." She said, "Come in." And I went in, and it was a little old, the bedroom, the bed was in the same place as the living room, you know what I mean? And she had a Bible stand. I've not seen one in years, but she had a Bible stand by her bed. Had her old Bible laid out on that stand. And you could tell it wasn't there for decoration. And she said, "Brother Rick," she said, "before we do anything, let's pray." I said, "Okay." She said, "You got anything you want me to pray about?" And I said, "Yeah, I just come from a man's house. He's got lung cancer, about 6 months to live. He's lost without God." She said, "Okay." She said, "I want you to pray for my nephew." She said, "He's a preacher. He don't know it yet, but I know he is." And she said, "He's going to preach." And she said, "I want you to pray about that." And I said, "Okay." We got down in the floor and prayed. That man with the lung cancer, he got saved about 6 weeks after that. Her grandson has preached all over the country and pastored churches all over the country. That little old lady knew God. And I got ready to leave. She said, "Wait a minute before you go. I got you something." And I walked in there and she had a little cardboard box. And she's got one of them things of welfare cheese out like they used to give you. You know, I seen one the other day. I guess they still give them. Used to, there's about that wide and about that long and about that deep. I seen one the other day and it was about like that. It was good cheese. She said, "You like cheese?" I said, "I love it." She pulled out a little jar and she said, "You see that jelly in there?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "I made that for you this morning off that tree. You can see out of the window there." I said, "Thank you." She said, "You got two boys, right?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "Here's a silver dollar for Corey and a silver dollar for Scotty." She didn't know their name, but she said, "Here's a silver dollar for them." And she said, "Here's a, I don't remember, $5 for you. I'll give that to y'all one of these days." And I thought we was done, man. I was in tears almost. I thought we was done. And I picked my little box up and started out. And she said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." She said, "Do you like watermelon?" I said, "I love it." She said, "There was a man come by here selling them this morning. And she said, I didn't have no money left. And she said, I begged him. I said, please give me one of them watermelons for my preacher. He's coming today. I want to have something to give him. Please give me one of them watermelons." And she said, "I begged that watermelon for you. God used that little old widow woman to supply my need." Amen. Some of it wasn't even needed. Some of it just wanted. But God supplied it all. Amen. God supplied it all. God will use people. God will use providence to supply your need. Sometimes you think what's the worst thing ever happened? It's God getting ready to supply your need. How many members that Sunday morning we arrived at church and there was sewage all over the church about as high as that gray band running around there. And somebody met me at the door. Back in those days, people got here before I did. And I come in, they said, "Brother Rick, what are we going to do?" Said, "The church is flooded." I said, "Start setting chairs out up there. We're going to go up there. We'll have church up there." Seemed awful. All summer, the church was down. They had to cut out some of the sheetrock, had to replace all the carpet. It was months to dry it all out. But that was the year that I felt like the Lord wanted us to have Jubilee. And church didn't have really the money it was going to take for the rooms. And when it was all said and done, all the carpet put down, all the walls fixed, all the repainting done, when it was all said and done, there was just enough money to pay for Jubilee that year. It looked like it was the worst thing that ever happened, but what are you saying? I'm saying God sometimes will take the providence and that's happening, whatever's going on, and God will use that to supply your need. Amen. God uses people. God uses providence. God uses predicaments. You get in. Remember over in 2 Kings chapter 7, man, it was a bad famine. And they were fixing to sell the dung of a dove for so much money because there was nothing to eat. And old Elijah said, "I tell you what," he said, "by this time tomorrow there'll be plenty of food." Remember what happened? God caused the Syrians to hear something that maybe was there, maybe wasn't there, but they left the whole town. They went in. They had enough food for them and everyone else, them four leopards. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying God sometimes uses the predicament you find yourself in to supply your need. But I promise you this, that I've learned by experience that God will supply your need. Amen. Let's look at it. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory forever and ever." I've learned that by experience. But notice this, it's personal. My God. Don't be expecting God to supply your need if you can't call Him my God, my shepherd, my Savior. He may do it. If He does, it'll just be out of the grace and goodness of God Himself. But don't expect Him to do it if you can't say He's my God. Now, if He's your God and you're walking with Him and living with Him, God says, "I will supply all your need." Amen. Notice the preciseness of it. All your need. I'm glad he didn't put it down and say food or raiment or money. I'm glad he said all. Some people think the only need they have is a few dollars. There's a lot of needs worse than that. God said, I supply all your needs. He gets precise about it. He gets precise about it and said, it doesn't say needs, it said all your need. You know what? Really all I need is the Lord Jesus, and He supplied Him. Amen. Notice the purpose of it. Same verse, verse 20. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. You know why God supplies your need? For His glory. God supplies your needs. You ought to tell people God supplied your needs so He'll get glory out of it. I'm convinced that we've got so mealy-mouthed and quiet down at the church house that we don't never tell anything God done for us no more. And the reason people don't want my God and your God is because they never hear what He can do. I'm not talking about saving them. That's an important thing. But God helps in so many ways. Amen. God helps in so many ways. And people need to know about our God. Ain't that what Jesus said? Go out and tell what great things the Lord hath done for you. Did He get you out of the hospital? Did He pay your bills? Did you get your kids straightened out? What did God do? Tell somebody about it. And God will get glory out of it. Let me give you another one here. John 15:5. I'm talking about some things I've learned by experience. The precious Word of God works. There is a peace of God that passes all understanding. There's a provision of God He will supply if you're His child. Look here, John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing. I've learned this by experience. I learned it pretty quick, Brother Marshall. I learned it about the second time I preached as a young preacher down at Brotherhood Church. And God really blessed me on that first night. Man, I couldn't believe it. I was on cloud nine. I didn't even know what I said or how I said it. I just know God bless me. Being green and ignorant and young, I got home and called my preacher, and I thought I'd done so good. I said, be all right if I preach again next Sunday night. I could tell Steve by the silence on the other end, I'd done messed up. But he thought experience would be the best teacher, and he said, yeah, come on. My Bible went blank. I mean, every page of my Bible, if I looked at it, it just looked like a white sheet of paper. I couldn't think nothing. I couldn't get nothing. I was tore all to pieces. And I got up. The first time I got up, God was my helper. Next time I got up, He said, see how you can do with it. Kind of like Brother Epps. He said, boy, I said, Brother Rick, God really trusts me today. I said, what do you mean? He said, He left and gave me the whole thing. The worst thing that can happen to a preacher or a teacher or a singer is for God to let you do what you can do. Amen. You say, what'd you do? Well, I did this for about 10 or 15 minutes. I walked around and around looking down at my shoes and walking around and around and thinking, God, if You'll help me get out of this, I'll give it up. I won't never try it again. I got done preaching. Them nice, kind church people come out lying like dogs. They said, you done a great job. You did good. Even I knew they was lying. And the preacher's wife come behind me, about the last one out. She said, young man. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, next time you preach, don't look down at your shoes. I want a preacher to look at me when he's preaching. I said, yes, ma'am. I thought that's the meanest woman God ever put a breath in. But she told me the truth. You ain't seen me looking at my shoes the last 40-some years, have you? You say, what happened? I learned that by experience. You see, our problem today is we have learned how to do so much without God. A missionary from Japan or somewhere come over here and toured the churches, and he went back and they asked him, they said, what was the most amazing thing you've seen in American churches? He said, how much they can do without God. We can sing without God. We can preach without God. We can pray without God. We can do all kinds of things without God. But you say, well, Brother Rick, you just read there that without Him you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing eternal, lasting, spiritual. You can't do nothing without God. These people throw churches up every week without God. Amen. You can do all kinds of stuff without God. I think after we've been in it a while, we know we can preach without God. We can put a sermon together, get us a few illustrations, a couple points. We can teach without God. Just grab five or six commentaries, read what they say, and repeat it like a polyparrot. We can teach without God. We can sing without God. We've got the talent, the musical ability. We can do it without God. But it's all sounding brass and tinkling cymbals if God is not my and God is not your partner. Amen. See, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. Take Christ out of there and I can't do nothing. That's where the strength comes from. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God is my partner. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that you, and if you're saved and I'm saved, that we are laborers together for God. We're working with God. The proclamation made in Hebrews 13 is, I can say, the Lord is boldly my helper. God will help me preach, He'll help me pray, He'll help you teach, He'll help you sing. And I tell you what, if God is your partner, you're bound for success. If God is not our partner, we're bound for failure. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, but Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We need to learn that we need God to do it. We don't need to do it just on our talent, our ability, our personal head knowledge. We need God in it. I think what's a mess in here in the last several years, it's all us doing it and ain't no God in it. I like it when God gets in it, don't you? Boy, it's sure a difference when God gets in it. Amen. I mean, we can fill the house up, have good services, get somebody down the altar. But it ought nothing amount to nothing unless God gets in it. I've learned that by experience. I've prayed more than once in a camp meeting or in a revival meeting. I've prayed more than once, oh God, if you're not going to be with me, don't let me go up there. I don't want to go up there without God. And you won't have to if you'll depend on Him and trust Him, believe in Him. He'll be with you. Let me give you this lesson here. I've learned this by experience. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Number 5, the purpose of God is to save sinners. I've learned that by experience. God's not it. If whatever God's doing, He's doing it to the end result that sinners might be saved. If God allows somebody to build a building, He don't give a flip about that building. He's doing it for the result that somebody might get in there and hear the Word of God. Everything we do, and I have to ask myself often and need to more, is what I'm doing for the purpose of seeing sinners saved. Preacher's wife, you know, she can be off a plane sometimes. And she's not, she don't say much. She's more of a courager than that. But the other day we were sitting on the couch, and I don't know what I was talking about, something. She said, I just wonder sometimes if you preachers, if all you're wanting really to do is to get up and preach, and you ain't really thinking of nothing about nobody getting saved, you just wanting to get up and preach or sing or teach or do something, you ain't thinking about nobody getting saved. Wham! We do that. And the purpose of us doing anything is for the end that somebody might get saved. Somebody might get saved. I'd be worried today if I was lost. I'd be worried today more if I was lost than I would have been 20 years ago, though I'd been worried then. You say, why? Well, the climate has changed. It's changed. The conditions are not as favorable as they have been in the past. Brother Mike is a fisherman, and he's a good one, and I'd say he could go any day and catch something. But when he sends me them pictures, them big stacks of fish, that meant all the conditions were favorable. They were favorable. Back in the Billy Sunday day and in all them days, the conditions were a lot more favorable than they are today. Amen. Think about this. For one thing, I've got that pond there beside me in my house there, County Barn Pond. Of course, anybody can fish there. It's easy access, clean around the banks. It's like a pay lake most of the time. A lot of times one person, I'll look over and there'll be one person over there and they'll stop. They don't have much patience. And after about 10 minutes, I see the car start up and they leave. The place where they left, the grass hadn't stood back up yet and somebody else pulls in there. They fish about 5 minutes and they leave. But the other day, it warm day we had, the banks was lined. I mean, it looked like a pay lake. They were all the way around that thing. And I seen one or two catch one. You say, what was you saying? Well, the more people fishing, the more likely to catch one. And I wouldn't want to be lost today because there ain't a whole lot of people fishing. There's not a whole lot of people fishing today. Oh, they mouth about it and talk about it in church, but they're not doing no fishing out there. Amen. They want the fish to jump out of the water and land on the bank, and all they want to do is pick it up. But Jesus said, go out in the hedges and highways to compel them to come in. Ain't as many people fishing as it was. But about everywhere you go now, all my good fishing holes that I used to fish in, literally fish in, somebody else has bought the farm. People's left that used to live there, and now they got about 100 signs nailed up on trees, every 10 trees posted, no trespassing. You can't fish it no more. I find that when we go out door knocking now, Brother Mike, one thing I picked up on this week is I picked up on everybody's got a doorbell camera. And used to, when they'd open the door, they see a man walking up in the yard with a suit coat on and a bundle of tracks in his hand. They see you before they get there. Before you get there, you're not coming in. I figured up yesterday about 10 doors to the 100 to let you in. And I understand. Times are wicked. And I've got one of them doorbell cameras myself. Not to keep Bible people out, but you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. And I don't want to fool with them. You can't tell them nothing. I just say, we don't even bid them Godspeed down at the house. Amen. But I'm telling you, to get in where they're at. And it's getting them harder to get them in here where you're at. And you do know this. Getting garden time here pretty soon. And if you don't plant seed, there ain't nothing coming up. That's why we call that seed sowing. Used to call it soul winning, but wasn't that many souls, so I said we'll call it seed sowing. That's really more what's going on. Amen. We're out sowing seed. Brother Mike, a few years ago, Brother Mike said, Brother Rick said, we've been in every one of these streets in Glasgow two or three times. I said, you're right, Brother Mike. I said, now we're reed seeding. It didn't come up. We're reseeding it again. But what I'm saying is that God's purpose is that sinners might get saved. Amen. And it's getting harder and harder to get them saved because they got posted signs everywhere. No loitering, no trespassing. And every cotton picking one of them's got three or four pit bulls and Doberman pinchers. When I come up on them, I say, they're saved. Let's go on to the next door. You say, Brother Rick, you ought to go in there. I ain't a-going. He'll come out and meet me. I'll come out and meet him, but I ain't a-going. Amen. Then Marty knocked on one. We was talking about this morning. Great big old dog come up in the picture window. Covered the whole window just about. I said, they're saved, Marty. Let's go on to the next one. But it's like they're doing everything in the world. Keep you out. And then there's another thing. You ever tried to fish in a pond where they got these barrels, you know, around the pond? They got a chain hanging down. Them fish, they're smart. They learn they can tip that chain. The food will fall out. You can't hardly catch a fish in a place like that. Unless they withhold feeding them for a while. You say, why? They're already full. They're not hungry. You see, there's so many feeding barrels around now that people ain't hungry for the Word of God. They are full of TV, social media, world pleasures. They don't have any appetite for the Word of God. You see them long lines of them baptizing 100 people, you know, them old black and white pictures. They didn't have a TV. They didn't have social media. They didn't have a computer. And the only place there was to go really was down to church. They didn't love it that much. It's just the only place left to go for a lot of them. But you see, if you went down there and got to hanging around the Word of God and a sower broadcasting seed, it might fall on good ground. It might get saved. And I want to say this. I believe back then there was a lot more good ground than there is today. So why don't we quit? Because Jesus said you're to do it until the end of the world. That's why. All right, let me give you this. Notice the words here. This is a faithful saying. You can count on it. You can nail it down. You can believe every letter of every word in there. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. You can believe this. The purpose of God is to save sinners. Notice why that Jesus came. It's right there in the text. He came unto this world to save sinners. It's what your Bible says. I know He's going to have a kingdom. I know all of that. But He came into this world to save sinners. Now let me give you this good news. It's there in the verse. Paul said, to save sinners of whom I'm chief. We probably got some worse sinners now than Paul was back then. But at that time, Paul said, I'm the chief. I'm the chief of sinners. You say, what's good about that? If God could save a man that hated Jesus Christ, if God could save a man that would arrest Christians and take them down where they'd be judged and thumb them down to be killed, if a man like that could get saved, God can save anybody. Anybody that's willing. Amen. Well, Laban said, for I have learnt by experience. I've learnt them things by experience. What about you? I know a lot of you's learnt a lot more than I have, and a lot of you's learnt what I have. Let's stand, if you would, please. Piano player, song leader, come today. God save sinners. Save me. God takes backslidden sinners back. Took me back. Oh, I thank the Lord for how He cleaned me up. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. If I could just tell everybody, Brother Marshall, how good God's been to me and what God's done for me, and they could get it and understand it, I don't see how they could not want Him. Amen. Amen. Father, thank You this morning for the Word of God. Thank You for these dear people who come and hear the preaching. And Lord, we scattered a bunch of seed today, and it fell around on different kinds of ground. You mentioned about 4 or 5 kinds of ground the seed can fall on. And I hope some of it falls on a good ground today. I hope somebody will respond to the Lord and say with me, I've learned some things over the years by experience, and He's a good God. Have Your way, Lord, in Christ's name.